How much gun is too much? This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. This week, we are going to talk about handguns. So what brought this on is I posted a picture of a new holster that I got from Loaded and Safe Concealment, and the purpose behind this holster was allowing me to carry a, for lack of better terms, a tactical race gun, a full-size Glock 17 with a compensator, a tack light, an optic, and a magwell on it. In addition, this happens to be designed with their tall magazine carrier, so it holds a 21-round Magpul magazine, and when the handgun is holstered, you notice the magazine rides deep, so it doesn't stick up any higher than the back plate of the Glock. So I posted a picture of this on our Instagram and on our Facebook, and a lot of you guys replied that it would be extremely uncomfortable, that it's not something you would carry every day. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to put it in a frame of reference of when this would be an option as opposed to other things. Now, I've got a variety of handguns scattered out across the bench here in front of me. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is my everyday carry gun. And we've talked about this a couple of times. So it is a Glock 19. I have an M-Force APLC on here and a Trijicon RMR on it. It's a fairly compact package, 15 rounds in the magazine, one round in the tube. I usually carry 147 grain or 124 grain jacket at hollow points in here. So overall, it is a handgun that you can definitely defend yourself with. I usually carry a 15-round spare magazine here. Generally, with semi-automatic handguns, anytime you carry a semi-automatic handgun, even if it is a high-capacity or mid-capacity handgun, it's a good idea to carry an extra magazine. Magazines are the bane of existence for semi-automatic weapons. Most malfunctions that you encounter with a semi-automatic weapon are either user-induced or magazine-induced. So a spare magazine is a good thing to have if for some reason that's when the feed lips on your magazine decide to give up. It's nice to be able to swap mags and then continue on. Now, the holster I've got it in here is a T-Rex Arms Sidecar, and I will be doing the full review on it here shortly. I was out at the range the other day and shot some of the final footage that I needed for it. So hopefully you guys won't get too grossed out looking at my hairy belly as I draw from this thing. And we did previously do a video about the appendix holster gel wedge hack, and I'll leave a little link to that. This has worked really, really well for me. It's just Velcroed on here, so I can go ahead and peel it off if I wish, but it stayed in place. It really hasn't degraded any. It's got a little rougher down here at the bottom edge, but I've had this on here for quite some time, and it does make carrying the holster just a little bit more comfortable for me. No problems with sweat building up or anything like that. So this is generally what I'm carrying if I'm outside of my house and I am not in uniform. When I am in uniform, then I'm carrying something more along the lines of this. Now, this happens to be a Glock 34. I actually carry a Glock 41, so it's the 45 ACP version of this. The slide dimensions are very, very similar. Obviously, the grip is larger for the 45 ACP to accommodate that double stack 45 ACP magazine. But I do carry a Surefire X300 on it. And on my duty gun, I've got a Trijicon RMR. This one has the Trijicon SRO on it. So this is a duty size handgun. If I had to fight with a handgun, then something like this is what I'm going to want to fight with. Now, why would I carry something like the Glock 19 instead of something like a Glock 34? Well, the main thing is just comfort going about your day-to-day routine. If you want to break it down to the simplest idea, is a daily carry gun should be a gun that you can fight with if you need to defend your life, but this does not intrude on your daily life much at all. And this gun, with the exception of very long car rides, I can put this on when I leave my house in the morning, run errands, be standing, sitting, moving around throughout my day, and really not have to worry about it at all. It conceals very close to my body, so I don't generally have to worry about printing, even wearing a t-shirt and jeans. Before we started filming this, I just ran back from the store to pick up some odds and ends. And this was what I was carrying, just wearing a t-shirt as a cover garment over top of it. Now, obviously, carrying appendix like this is body type dependent. If your stomach and waistline stick out further than your chest does, then a t-shirt may not conceal an appendix rig. You may have to go with a hoodie or something a little bit more bulky to be able to conceal this kind of setup. But when we move up to something again like the Glock 34 or the Compt 17 here, it really is not that much more difficult to conceal it. Now the Glock 34, I've got a Dawson Ice Magwell on it. This truly is a competition setup on this handgun. So if I pull the tack light off of it, then I can run the handgun just like this in carry optics divisions in most shooting sports. That's why this one is not comped, because a comped gun will push you into open class. This is pretty much a carry optics class gun. When I put the tack light on it, and now it's very similar to a duty gun that most police officers would carry. But if we're going to go that route, why not go full boat and go compensated and all that fun junk? Because on the street, there really aren't any rules to what you can carry. But we still need to see about that intrusion into daily life, because it's great. This could be a much more effective gun if you are going into a gunfight than a compact Glock. But if you're not going to wear it, if it's uncomfortable, if you're constantly shifting it around, if you're constantly showing that you have a handgun, that may cause you some significant problems in some areas. So for that, I basically picked this rig up because I wanted to see how big a handgun I could actually carry in my day-to-day routine and not print, not cause problems, and not really not cause a drawback. And this is pushing the outer limits for me. So talking specifically about this platform, the main thing that we want to focus our attention on, now this is XH35, which has a little bit shorter nose than an X300, but the compensator sticks out just a little bit past the tack light. If we look on the Glock 34 with the tack light, the barrel does not stick out any further than the tack light. So you don't gain anything by going down in size to something like a Glock 17 and stick a tack light like an XH35 or an X300 on it. So the compensator is just value added in this point. It doesn't really add that much extra length to the overall gun. Now, the old argument about, oh, compensators, it throws all kinds of flash, and that's a huge, huge bunch of BS. I have shot compensated handguns with plus P defensive ammo at night. There is a flash. It does not blind you. It doesn't take you out of the fight. In no way, shape, or form does it cause that problem. It does create more concussion at the shooter's ear, but more than likely, you're going to be experiencing auditory exclusion in a gunfight anyway, so it's not going to be one of those issues, again, that takes you out of the fight. So don't let people tell you a compensator on a defensive gun is a bad thing. I've shot from retention before. It does not kill you. It does not disable you. It does not cause any harm to you. It does throw a pressure wave at you, and if you don't train for it, that may cause some issues. But if you train for it, again, not a big deal. This one has a smaller magwell on it, because I did find that the ice magwell does print quite a bit more. So we have the SLR Rifleworks Magwell on this gun. Now, the orange thing that's in here, this is a dry fire mag. That review is coming up very soon. But the dry fire mag allows me to pull the trigger and keep pulling the trigger on a Glock. So you notice the trigger is actually moving considerably, and we can contrast that from a standard trigger pull. The trigger goes dead on a Glock. So the dry fire mag allows me to get repeat trigger pulls on it without any issues whatsoever. Now, the loaded and safe concealment rig that we have right here, it allows the handgun to ride fairly low, so the bulk that you're getting above the waistband where things normally print really is not that much more than the Glock 19. You get a little bit longer grip, but because we have the concealment wing here pushing it around, then it tucks into the side really nicely, and I don't find that it prints that much more, again, than the Glock 19. Now, the Glock 19 here, the sidecar does have a concealment wing as well. This pushes against the inside of your belt and causes the gun to curve around. So it still helps conceal there a little bit. And on here, you notice the mag bounces around a little bit. That's because there's some shock cord here holding it in. And I was really interested to see how this works. The sidecar has a bend, but it's still rigid Kydex holding things in. But the shock cord here allows us to move a little bit more freely. It's less rigid pushing against your body, but it still stabilizes the magazine carrier. Also, because this is an extended magazine carrier, it rides deeper, and that avoids that tendency of magazines to tip out when you just have a magazine carrier on its own, not attached to anything. So with all those features combined, it allows me to keep a 21 round spare magazine in the carrier. Now, I wouldn't want to run the 21 round magazine in the gun because that's going to create the much longer grip, and this is the hardest part of the gun to conceal. So overall, the package really is not that much more difficult as far as printing than the Glock 19 that I carry every day. The one point that we do have a little bit of problem is this area that extends down below my waistline. Standing up, I don't even notice it at all. There may be a little bit of extra rub on the side here against the inside of my thigh. When I'm walking, I might not want to put this rig on if I was going for a 10-mile hike. But if I am just doing standard security detail stuff, standard law enforcement stuff, where I'm just walking a post, then this would work out just fine. Seated in a car for a long period of time, though, I don't think I would really want to keep this rig tucked on me. That is where these clips come in handy. I've got similar clips on the sidecar here. They're just plastic clips that you can tuck a shirt behind them. But what I really like is they're very quick to clip over a belt, and they have a little bit of a recurve underneath them. So they grab on the bottom edge of your belt and they keep everything very secure. But when you slide into the car, it's really easy to unclip this, pop it off of your belt, and you're good to go. I've tried soft belt loops that snap in before. They just don't really work well for me. I find I fiddle with them quite a bit. So the hooks like this are my preference for an everyday carry holster, or one that I need to take on and take off. Now, if you find yourself moving into secure areas where you have to secure your handgun and holster, it's really nice to be able to pop this off altogether, put it in the gun locker. That way you're not constantly uncovering that trigger on a striker fired handgun. So just something to keep in mind. Now, I did order the teardrop pad from Loaded and Safe as well. I just found with this setup, putting it on here, it was too much. It was pushing out too much, and it just didn't work well at all. So for this, either flat on the back or going, I may put one of the gel wedges on the back of here because it's about half the thickness of that big teardrop pad. So that may work well, but I really haven't notice needing it on this because the extra length of the holster, it doesn't push in the same place that the sidecar pushed in, right against that hip bone. So probably not needed with this at all. I've only had a couple of weeks with this so far, but I'm really impressed with the craftsmanship on it. It is designed really for the Glock 34 and the Surefire X300. That obviously fits in the holster just fine. This one I actually spec'd out for the XH35 on a Glock 34. So it does have room for the switch panel on the bottom of the XH35, which doesn't clear on most standard holsters. This has got a channel in it for it. And the way that they did the open bottom here, the compensator protrudes through it just fine. So I spec'd it out for threaded barrels, etc., and compensated guns work in it. We'll see if I run into any issues when I start heating this guy up and reholstering it. I have different holster options if I'm going to go out to the range and burn a couple hundred rounds through a compensated gun. Putting it into a appendix holster probably is not the best idea if you're going to get it really hot. I have noticed in the past during extended range sessions, once you really get the slide and the barrel hot on the gun, they tend to transfer that heat through the Kydex and into your body pretty quickly, depending upon the drills that you're running. So if I'm going to go out and do a high volume training session, I'm probably going to choose a different holster. But for regular draw practice, shooting maybe a 100-round training session, I think this is just going to be fine. So that is the loaded and safe concealment rig, and that is that setup. Now, when would you actually use something like this? What kind of activities would you need a compensated race gun? Well, the main thing that I can see for this is that when I am doing training and I'm going to go out and run, for instance, our red dot course for our department, then I don't have to bring a carry gun and my duty gun at the same time. I can just take the duty gun that I'm going to run the course with. I can drop it in this appendix rig, you know, throw it on, and I only have to carry one gun. I mean, that's a big benefit for me because all the other stuff that you have to carry, range bag, all that, you start to add bulk to it really quickly. Going into a plainclothes situation, if I was going to be in a plainclothes law enforcement situation, I would much rather have the full capacity race gun than a compact gun. That's not to say the compact gun can't get it done, but there is a reason that guys are not shooting compact guns in open class competition, and that's because it is easier to shoot an optically equipped, compensated, full-size handgun with more rounds on tap than it is the compact concealment rig. But when it all comes down to it, again, we need to not intrude on our regular daily life because when you start to make those concessions, then you really don't want to carry the gun. I'm not going to lie. There are days when I woke up and thought, man, I really would like to just go to the store without having to strap on iron. But the day that you make that choice and you decide to go out without it, maybe the day that you need it, and if people die because you were lazy, that's going to be a hard thing to live with. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, before I leave you guys, I'm not always running the heavy iron. There are times where I need to go really low profile, or there are times when the social occasion requires a state address that is not conducive to hiding these. So for that, I do have pocket guns like this. This is probably the smallest and lightest setup that I would go with. This happens to be a SIG P365 SAS. It's a really interesting handgun. This is the Black Point holster that SIG markets for this handgun. Again, it's appendix, has a little wing on it. but I can convert it to behind the hip very quickly. It has an adjustable belt clip, so I can angle it. So if I'm wearing a suit coat or a tux or something of that nature, then it's very easy for me to change up the carry method on it and still be able to conceal this guy. Now, this is almost the James Bond level of gun. You know, James Bond carried the little tiny Walther. This still at least fires 9mm, and because it is ported here, then it makes it a little bit easier to fire plus P 9mm through it and still be able to keep it on target. I'm not a huge fan of the Meprolite sights. We do have a full review of the Meprolite Bullseye sight coming up very soon. It works on this gun because this really is contact range and just a little bit longer handgun. So a very coarse sighting system like the Meprolites work well on it. However, I have really never had a problem when I'm carrying a gun in a holster with sights hanging up. So running standard sights on something like this or a standard 365 would be a really nice option. But in this little holster, this is a gun that gives you no excuse to leave the house without a gun. It's very small, very compact, very easy to wear. Just about any body type can strap this on and not really have any problems. So when we set that out, there's a full array of options out there. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have one of each of these. I'm a gun guy. I love handguns. I love training with a wide variety of different handguns. You notice the primary serious use handguns are Glocks, because Glocks are what I'm required to carry for my job. So those are the ones that the autopilot is set for, to where I automatically run through the motions. I don't have to think about where things are at or how to manipulate the handgun. I do have subcompact Glocks as well. I just pulled the SAS out here because it's kind of cool. So those are the options. If you already do not have something of the Glock 19 size, then that is definitely what I recommend. Something in this size, either the Glock 19, the SIG P320X Compact, Smith & Wesson makes a variety of them as well. That is what I would recommend first off for a concealed carry handgun, because it can even be pressed into service as a duty handgun or a competition handgun, should you so desire to do so. But again, this was kind of more of an experiment just to see if this was practical, if this was crazy and totally outlandish. But I tell you the truth, I really honestly could carry this, and with the exception of sitting and driving, it's really not that big of a deal to pack a full-size race gun in an appendix rig. Now, running this behind the hip, you probably would still be okay. I don't know that it would be really comfortable to sit down with it with an inside-the-waistband holster. And obviously, if you are wearing an outside-the-waistband holster, this kind of gun will carry just fine, but you need to make sure that you are wearing some kind of jacket that is tailored to be able to accommodate the butt of the gun. Just for me, I found that appendix really works the best for me in a wide variety of situations, with the one exception of wearing a suit or wearing a tuxedo. In that case, I do have to modify and drift away from appendix carry. So that is my rambling opinion on carrying a full-size race gun versus carrying a compact versus carrying a mouse gun. But as always, I want to hear what you guys have to say. So let me know what your opinion is. Is there ever a situation where you would carry a rig like this? And what's your daily carry? Go ahead and drop it in the comments down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help support the videos that you know and love, check us out over on Patreon. And until next time, get out and shoot.